bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today, my friends, our show will be focused on the trials and temptations that we have in life. And this is important, my friends, because we have to persevere through these trials that we have, especially for our men and women in recovery from substance abuse and alcoholism, as well as incarceration. So as we begin, we're going to let you know that we are working on a virtual program for the WINGS program up in one of the Western Pennsylvania facilities, or state correctional institutions. And with the help of one of our inmates on the inside, we will get this set up without question. We had a great conversation with a deputy warden only a few days ago, and they are open to the idea. They just have to upgrade the technology in the classroom. And then I think we can move forward. But we want to move in today into the Word of God as we focus on the trials and temptations of individuals in with addiction and with incarceration. And so here it is from the book of James, chapter 1. Perseverance in times of trial. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it. But he should ask in faith, not doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed about by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, since he is a man of two minds, unstable in all his ways. The brother in lowly circumstances should take pride in his high standing, and the rich one in his lowliness, for he will pass away like the flower of the field. For the sun comes up with its scorching heat and dries up the grass. Its flower droops, and the beauty of its appearances vanishes. So will the rich person fade away in the midst of his pursuits. But as we get started, my friends, we want to just acknowledge that the Word of God from the book of James talks about trials, and consider it all joy when we encounter them. What trials have you gone through in your life that you would consider joy? What challenges have you had to overcome? What obstacles have you seen in front of you that you've had to go over or go around? It's very powerful. It's kind of like in aviation. We have thunderstorms on the horizon, and we know the law says that you've got to avoid them by 20 nautical miles. And so we can go to the left or to the right or over the top, but we have to avoid them to avoid that severe turbulence, possibly a hail shaft, possibly some other things such as heavy rain showers, which would cause an engine failure, or tornadoes within the thunderstorm. But I just tell you, we in life will have trials and tribulations. And for some of our men who are incarcerated, some of the challenges they have shared with us are these: being separated from their wives or babies' moms and their children for long periods of time, and not being able to come out of their cells until they're actually approved to do so every day, not being able to have a visit unless it's been approved, or to have commissary unless that's been approved, not being able to get into an educational program because there's a line and a waiting list in front of them. Many, many challenges for our men and women who are incarcerated. Another one would be a continuance from the court. And when you go to court, sometimes, you know, you're anxious and you're hoping for the best, preparing for the worst. And sometimes, you know, the lawyers are not ready and there's a continuance. It could be another month. It could be 6 months. And then you just have to go back to your cell and wait. So there are great trials that people have to overcome while being incarcerated. Not to mention that sometimes they have a lockdown due to something that has occurred within prison walls, such as a fight or a stabbing or something else. Anything that's severe in nature will require a lockdown. And so with that, you know, lockdowns can take place for hours or a couple days, and you're confined to your cell. So this is an important thing, but the Lord says to consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And like the Lord who carried his cross up Calvary Hill, and through his death, passion, death, and resurrection, had to endure through all that to give us a chance at eternity, we too will have to persevere through different challenges. And I want to bring up a gentleman today, a good friend, Kevin, who has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he will begin radiation today. And he and his wife and their brother, you know, will be praying for Kevin because cancer is a killer. And many people get through it, but many do not. And it seems to be so much cancer out there. We have another woman going through breast cancer, a very good friend of mine, his wife, who was diagnosed with breast cancer 10 years ago and had a mastectomy. And today she is struggling with her second diagnosis of cancer once again and possibly a second mastectomy. And this is, you know, a very difficult time for her as well as Kevin, facing prostate cancer, and it requires a lot of prayer, a lot of focus, and to really put it in the hands of the Lord, because, you know, this is the Lord's arena, if you will, and only he can take that cancer away, you know, completely and give them a life free of cancer. So we just pray that the Lord will help all people with cancer, especially our two friends, which we acknowledge this morning, that the Lord will remove it and redesign their lives once again with hope and great vision into the future. We pray that Jesus Christ will give them the love of God the Father. And through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, we pray for a cancer-free life for both of these individuals. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And there are many challenges, my friends, also in recovery from substance abuse and alcoholism. Addiction is very tough, and working in the WINGS program, we've seen many people who are struggling with addiction to crack cocaine and opiates, and also fentanyl and heroin, and, you know, alcohol also being an accepted drink. Legal to go out and buy alcohol, to consume it, is a very challenging substance for a lot of people. And so we pray for those people for perseverance, to endure. And we had a guy in the WINGS program who had 15 DUIs and, you know, really had to change his ways. Really being addicted to alcohol is not an easy thing. He had spent many years in prison, lost his family with that separation due to alcoholism and incarceration. And, you know, we tried to help him as much as we can. And only God can, you know, really take this away from him, because addiction is very difficult, whether it be alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, or anything else. It's very, very difficult. It requires a lot of prayer and a lot of self-discipline. And the Word of God goes on to talk about, my friends, wisdom. So how do you know if you lack wisdom? Because the Word of God says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it. So how do you know if you lack wisdom? Well, in the Wings program, we talk about people who make the same mistake again and again and again. And we've had men who have had over 72 arrests, and people who have 20 burglaries in a 30-year period. And basically, they continue to do the same things because their habit pattern to do it. And they continue to strive for that lifestyle and to do what feels good. And what specifically with addiction to alcohol or drugs, WFG, or what feels good, is very prevalent, very prominent, and a goal for each and every one who is addicted. I had a gentleman in Bristol, Pennsylvania, who told me, Joe, there is nothing an addict won't do to get the next high. And we worked in Bristol, PA, over at the Harbor Lights complex for 6 years, where this gentleman, who was 25 years old, had been stricken with 13 years of addiction to drugs and alcohol, and basically was in a real bad position for most of that time. But he had gotten clean and sober, and then 6 months later was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and had lost the use of his legs. When I met him, I was bringing meals to him through Aid for Friends. And basically, this individual had braces put on his leg that week, on both legs, and walked with crutches. And a couple years later, the MS had really increased, and he was forced to go to a wheelchair. And then he was forced to go into the bed full time and totally dependent on other people, unable to leave the bed. And for 6 years, we brought him meals every Friday and basically did the Wings program for guys from Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous as well, right in his apartment in Bristol at the Harbor Lights complex across from St. Mark's Church. And I just tell you, this gentleman, because of the MS, had gone to Inglis House on City Line Avenue, where there were over 200 cerebral palsy and MS victims. And because of the drug addiction, you know, and alcohol addiction, he had done damage truly to his brain and was stricken with multiple sclerosis. And today, you know, he's still confined to a wheelchair electrically, and that's his life. So if we keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again, you know, it's going to be a problem. So God says to pray for wisdom if you lack wisdom. And we all need more wisdom, my friends. We all need to learn from the past, because we can't change the past, but we want to learn from it. But God says this. He said he should ask in faith for wisdom, not doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed about by the wind. So we have to ask in faith for anything that we want from God. But here specifically, we're talking about wisdom, to be wise, to make good choices, excellent decisions. And we use the Word of God as the source of all great decision making in the Wings program. And this is important, my friends, as we go forward one day at a time, especially for people who have had years of addiction or years of incarceration. We want to start fresh. We want to start new. We want a clean mind. When you're under the influence of alcohol or drugs, or if you're consumed by the lifestyle of the streets, your mind is not your own. Your mind is that of the alcohol or the drug of choice, whatever it is. And it's taken you over. Your decisions are based on, you know, how you feel at that moment, and you'll do anything to get the next high. So our job is to pray for wisdom so that we can get clean and sober. Just recently, I talked to an alcoholic who was clean for 14 years. And I said, that's incredible. That's powerful. And so, you know, his life had changed 14 years ago when he made a decision to get clean and sober, to go into recovery. And, you know, nationwide, there's about an 83% failure rate in recovery. Most people don't succeed in recovery because they don't give 100% to their recovery program. And in talking with people in recovery for many years, working with them in the Wings program down at the House of Adonai on Frankfurt Avenue in Philadelphia, many of them told me that they didn't give maybe 50% or 25%, sometimes 10%, each and every day, each and every week to this recovery program. Hence, we have a failure rate of close to 83%. And people, you know, think they have forever to succeed in recovery, but it's not true because we can run out of time. And we've seen at least a dozen people overdose on different drugs, from methamphetamine to fentanyl, heroin, over the years. So we want to get this thing straight, and we want to, you know, become more stable and more credible and become a role model and to teach our kids to avoid these kinds of things. In the Wings program, we've taken many people into the schools who had backgrounds of incarceration or drugs or alcohol and helped them to understand how to avoid drugs or alcohol incarceration. They're all kind of leading to each other. They're walking hand in hand, because when you get a DUI or multiple DUIs, you're going to lose your driver's license. You could be incarcerated. We had a woman who was driving under the influence in South Philadelphia and who was also using her phone at the same time and actually ran someone down, and he was killed. And she was given vehicular homicide charges and served 4 years in prison. And I just tell you that this can happen if we're not careful. Things like that happen to even good people. So we've got to be careful on what we're doing day in and day out. And we've got to, once again, pray for wisdom. And we should ask in faith, because the one who doesn't ask in faith, okay, and doubts, he's like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed about by the wind. I can go this way or that way, depending on the day. But God wants a firm faith. He wants 100%, not 6 days a week, but seven. He doesn't want lip service either. And, you know, when we're needy, we give God lip service sometimes. From Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 to 9, the word says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, human precepts." The Lord wants us close. He knows every word that we speak. He hears it. He understands our hearts and minds. He knows what we're going to ask for before we ask. He is our creator, and the Holy Spirit lives within us. And the Word of God has been planted in our hearts, and it can save our souls. So we've got to adhere and comply with God's Word. It's in our hearts. We must do it. And God wants us to live a good life. He doesn't want us to be trapped under addiction or trapped under incarceration forever. He doesn't want us to, you know, be a negative role model to our children. Our kids are watching everything we do, how many drinks we have, if we're smoking, if we're working, if we're playing ball and not working, if we're involved with domestic violence and abusing our wives or for neglecting them as our children, they know these things. We're either putting love into the equation or we're not. God calls us to love one another, the second greatest commandment. It's up to you and I to make that decision every day to do it. Or we could just basically live on a flat line where it's the same thing every day and we're not growing in love for other people. God wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Very powerful. So if I love myself poorly because I'm a drug addict, I'm addicted to alcohol. If I love myself poorly because I have no stability in my life, okay, how can I love my neighbor any differently? God says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's important. We've got to love ourselves first, build ourselves up mentally, physically, spiritually, be clean and sober, live a great lifestyle that's conducive for God's word to be followed, and not live the lifestyle of the streets. Money, power, prestige, a reputation, making the same mistakes over and over and over again, going in and out of jail like a revolving door, separated from our children, separated from our parents, losing time because we only have so much time. And no one knows how much time we have. Only the Father knows. But one day our time will come and we'll have to answer for what we did with that time, my friends. So we want to again pray for wisdom with a strong faith and not go back and forth. Okay? For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, since he is a man of two minds, unstable in all his ways. God wants stability, firmness, the same answer over and over and over. As he asked Peter, the apostle, three times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. He asked him a second time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. It's powerful because he wants the same answer. He wants to see us like Peter with that firm faith. And even though Peter, you know, in fear walked away from the Lord when he was being, you know, battered, you know, out of fear, we have to be strong and firm in our faith with the same answer. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, my Lord, you are my Lord and Savior. Where else can I go? We have to be firm in faith. Very important. I want to move on to temptations, my friends. Once again, from James chapter 1, blessed is the man who perseveres in temptation, for when he has been proved, he will win the crown of life that he promised to those who love him. No one experiencing temptation should say, I am being tempted by God. For God is not subject to evil, and he himself tempts no one. Rather, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire conceives and brings forth sin, and when sin reaches maturity, it gives birth to death. So I ask you the question, what is your most vulnerable area or your greatest weakness, and what must you do to overcome it? So if you're listening out there, my friends, and your temptation or your greatest weakness is money, power, prestige, if it's drugs or alcohol, what are you going to do to overcome it? Because we've got to make a plan for the future, the immediate and not too distant future, and then for the long term. And part of our plan of action should include being clean and sober, being free of incarceration, off probation, with our records expunged. There should be no more opiates, no more methamphetamine, no more crack cocaine, no more fentanyl, no more alcohol. These are the things that brought us down in the first place. And these are the things that we will have to eliminate from our lives. Again, what is your most vulnerable area? Is it sex, gambling, or drugs? We had a guy in a WENGS program who was a contractor and who took advantage of over 20 families presenting the service of carpentry or plumbing or electrical in different cases. And he collected his deposits but never finished the job for these people. Took him for more than $70,000. And what did he do with the money? He went to gamble it. He had a gambling addiction again and again and again until he was caught and served a lot of jail time. He took advantage of his family, took advantage of different people who, you know, believed in him and in his services that he was going to provide. But he never finished those jobs. And so this is important that whatever your addiction is, that you have a roadmap for the future. You have an action plan for the future, like a flight plan going from point A to point B to your destination. We want to make sure we hit all those targets along the way. And if you can't handle alcohol, we don't want you to go into a bar or buy alcohol. If you can't handle, you know, whatever the addiction is, then we've got to stay clear of it. We've got to be clear that, you know, we're not in a position of strength. We're in a position of weakness. So whatever is our most vulnerable area or greatest weakness, we must overcome this temptation. If it's sex, if it's lust, these things are not hard, but God calls, they're not easy. They are hard, but God calls us to gain wisdom and to not repeat the past, but to go forward and to start a new life, to eliminate these addictions. And we can do it with God's help. So the WENGS program, being a faith-based program that uses aviation analogies, has great success because of the Lord's guidance and directions within it. Lining people up with what God says to do and not to do is paramount in the WENGS program. And this, my friends, is where you and I have to begin. Like Jeff Collins, one of our men in the WENGS program, who had to get his mind right and go through Gaudenzia's rehab program and then graduate, then his mind was right to decide what next should I do. And at 51, he completed his GED, which he worked on for almost 2 years. And then he continued in education and got a CDL license and moved forward from there and worked for Rotex. And a couple years later, in today's environment, he got his hazmat endorsement and his tanker endorsement and was applying to Sunoco and Exxon. And I just tell you that Jeff is a wingman. He's in formation, trying to do the right things, trying to follow the Lord's ways. And we are not perfect as men and women. We will make mistakes, but God calls us to pray for wisdom so we avoid the mistake a second time, a third time, or whatever amount of times. Like the gentleman who had 15 DUIs and served many years in prison, I said to him in his early 40s, how long are you going to do this? You're 43 years old. How long can you do this? You're going to run out of time. And he said, you're right. And he continued with that recovery program as well as the WENGS program and graduated. But my friends, these are not easy things. Addiction, alcoholism, incarceration, it requires change. I want you to think about the number one change that you have to make and what it is that you have to overcome in temptation. What is your strategy for avoidance? And if you get into it, how must you overcome that to save your life and the lives of your children, as well as your family? My friends, that's our show for today. Thank you for joining us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. May God bless you and have a great day. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.